Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, fellow infidels, and welcome to another episode of The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and today we have someone joining us who is actually running to be governor for the state of Arkansas. Now, I know you're going to ask yourself, Gadi, why are you interviewing someone who's running for governor in Arkansas? But when you hear what she has to say, it will become very clear as to why we're bringing her on. This person is Jan Morgan. Now, she is often referred to as the First Lady of the Second Amendment. She is nationally recognized as a Second Amendment advocate and speaker. She is an NRA-certified arms instructor, an NRA-certified range safety officer, a state police-certified concealed carry instructor, and the founder of Armed American Woman. She also happens to own the Gun Cave Indoor Firing Range in Hot Springs, Arkansas. You can see Jan each and every week on the Fox News and Fox Business Network as an analyst on gun rights issues. She's appeared on CNN, The Blaze TV, American Family Radio Network, and hundreds of other radio and television stations and media programs. Jan Morgan is a sought-after speaker and has served as the keynote speaker at Republican, Tea Party, and Second Amendment events in over 20 states. The National Center for Crime Prevention invited her to be a speaker in Washington, D.C. at the National Convention of College Students for Concealed Carry on Campus. As a result of the efforts of that organization, college students with concealed carry permits now have the right to carry concealed carry on their college campuses in six different states. As a certified firearms instructor, Jan has trained over 40,000 people in 50 states plus nine other countries. Her firearms training program has a 100% accident-free gun safety record and a proven record of success with students all across the nation. Jan is also an Associated Press award-winning investigative journalist, and she's the owner and editor of JanMorganMedia.com. She's an independent constitutional conservative, and her conservative voice has generated a following of over 1 million people on her website and social media pages. And she has garnered national attention and international attention back in 2014 because she declared her gun range a Muslim-free zone. But now she is running for governor against the incumbent Republican governor, Asa Hutchinson. And that is who we're going to be talking to today. So stick around and we will be right back after this.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through the break. You're listening to The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and as I mentioned in the run-up to this first segment, we are honored to have on the line with us today Jan Morgan, who is running for governor for the state of Arkansas. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Gadi.
It is so great to have you. So I want to start out with a full disclosure here. You and I have known each other. I don't want to show my age. We've known each other for a few years. We'll just put it that way.
That's
and
right.
We actually used to do a radio show together back when I was on Radio Jihad, and we had the show America Akbar. We used to do – how long did we do that show together? Do you even recall?
6 months to a year, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was over a year, I think.
Well, you had the show for a number of years, but I kind of just joined in for about a year, it seems like.
Well, I miss those days when you were on that program, let me tell you. And I can guarantee you the listeners over there miss you and that show.
Thank you.
Now we're going to introduce you to the rest of the world through Israel News Talk Radio and specifically Israel. So everybody sitting out there is asking, okay, Gadi, why are you interviewing somebody who's running for the governor of Arkansas. What does that have to do with us? But there's a reason, and there's a very important reason as to why I wanted to get you on the show. Because aside from the fact, and we'll get into it, you own a gun range called the Gun Cave in Hot Springs, right. Arkansas. And yes. Back in 2014, you really, to say that you got into the national spotlight because of something that happened is an understatement. But you
actually, the international spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. It was international because it went all over. And right. I remember and reading articles.
And it put me on the ISIS hit list, according to the counterterrorism unit of the FBI.
Yes, I remember that as well. I was going to bring that up. You were definitely got a few fatwas on your head, but you declared your gun range a Muslim-free zone. And I don't want to get into that just yet, because that really didn't have a whole heck of a lot to do with why you're running for governor. And you and I talked about this just last week when we were talking in a private conversation, and we got into the reasons behind this, because like you told me, you didn't get into this to do politics. This was certainly not what you had wanted to do. But something happened in Arkansas with a law that we've talked about on this show many times, that many different states throughout the United States, including the state that I live in, which will go unmentioned, where they put into the state constitution or they make a state law that the state will not utilize Sharia law in any of its judicial proceedings. And this happened in Arkansas. So kind of take it from there and tell us what occurred.
Well, what happened is you have the National Security Policy Center made a recommendation to all states that they put in some sort of legislation that would prohibit Sharia law in the state. And the reason the National Security Policy Center did this is because there were over 50 court cases around America and I think 13 different states where judges had allowed Sharia law to trump constitutional law in cases that involved Muslims, much to the detriment of the women and children who were often the victims of the horrific crimes of that barbaric law system. So, the legislature in the state of Arkansas, Democrats and Republicans, came together and they put together legislation and they passed it. They passed a law in the state of Arkansas prohibiting Sharia law from being practiced in any of our courtrooms. And our governor refused to sign it. To this day, he still has not signed it. It went into law without his signature. But that was that's one of many reasons I decided to run, but it is also you have to ask yourself, why would a governor do that when clearly the people of his state who are represented by their legislature wanted otherwise?
So here's my question. Let's back up and explain to everybody. The current governor in Arkansas is Asa Hutchinson. He is a Republican. What was the reason?
Really. He's a Republican in name only. He's actually a Democrat who ran as a Republican.
Yeah. Right. But for people who don't live in the United States, who don't understand that, he ran on the Republican ticket in the United States. Right. Even though there's many parties, the two main parties that everyone hears about is the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. He ran as a Republican. What was his reasoning behind not wanting to sign this, even though it passed?
His reasoning was he said he hadn't seen anything like that happening in any of our courts in Arkansas. Duh. The point is to be proactive rather than reactive. That was the whole reason the National Security Policy Center put that information out there, because it's harder to bring something back into control when it's already out there and you have judges making the mistake of allowing Sharia law in their courtrooms in cases involving Muslims. We don't live and operate under Sharia law in this country. We are under constitutional law. But his response was just, well, he hadn't seen that as a problem here. He didn't see a need to address something that had not occurred. So in other words, he wants to be a reactive governor rather than a proactive.
Right, which is something we constantly talk about on this show. And I know as busy as you are, you don't get to listen to my shows as often as I'd like. But something we constantly talk about on this show is exactly that, being proactive rather than reactive. And nip it in the bud before it happens. This Asa Hutchinson, the governor, all he had to do was sign it. I mean, it already passed. And as you pointed out, it became law without his signature anyway. But then people that know you from the gun range and know you from being on Fox News, and you know, if hopefully everybody heard the bio that I read on you, You're on Fox Business Network. You're on Fox News. You've been on many other shows, a lot of media. They came to you and they asked you to run.
Republicans across, but for a number of reasons. That's one of many issues where he really, his actions flew in the face of standard Republican Party platform, which is limited government, lower taxes. So because, and also, Republicans are supposed to be pro-gun rights, and he has done nothing but further restrict the gun rights of law-abiding citizens in this state. And so Republicans by the thousands asked me to step up to the plate and run. So we spent 6 months in exploratory committee stage, which means we traveled the state, we listened to the people, we talked to the people to see if we really did feel that there was a wide group of people, you know, statewide, who were willing to get behind us and do this. And, of course, we obviously pulled the trigger on January 1st and said, we're running.
One of the things that you've done since you have the gun cave, you in 2014, you declared that your gun cave, your gun range, was going to be a Muslim-free zone. What happened there, and how did that come about?
Well, you know, Gotti, that was a time period when America had come under a number of Islamic terrorist attacks. It was the year when our FBI thwarted the most terror attacks, Islamic terrorist attacks in American history. They had had the most threats that they had thwarted. We had just had a beheading in Oklahoma by an Islamic terrorist, beheaded one woman, and he was in the middle of slicing off another woman's head when some good guy with a gun saved the day. And then I had had two people actually walk in my gun range with Allah Akbar ringtones on their phones that upset people in the lobby area. We had just had two Islamic terror attacks on American soil where the terrorists had actually trained at gun ranges in their respective areas. And so all these things combined, just it was enraging to me. And I just said, you know what, for safety and security reasons, if you are an adult and you choose to align yourself with this theocracy, then I can't allow you to handle lethal weapons next to people that your so-called religion commands you to kill. And that's the position we decided to take. And we've stuck with it. We stood by it. And since we made that decision, gun ranges and gun stores in 6 states in America have followed suit publicly. Many more are doing the same thing, but just didn't step up to the plate publicly and announce it because, as you know, it creates a firestorm of backlash, not only nationally, but internationally, and all kinds of death threats and everything else. I mean, it certainly is a life-changing position to find yourself in.
No, absolutely. And you already mentioned that the FBI Counterterrorism Task Force, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, came to you and alerted you to the fact that you were on a hit list because of this. But,
yes.
But even more so, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, went directly to Eric Holder, who at that time was the Attorney General of the United States, to try and get something done because you did that. But because you, and you can explain about the laws in the United States, because you're a private club, you don't have to adhere to the same rules and regulations that a business that's open to the public does. Is that basically correct?
Right. True. If you're a public accommodation facility, the law is differently. You can't discriminate against someone based on race, religion, etc. Private clubs do not fall under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We are exempt from that. But even further than that, Gotti, what also protects us, in addition to the fact that we're exempt from the Civil Rights Act because we're a private club, what also protects us is we are a federal firearms licensed facility. And our own government, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, that issues those licenses, when they interview you and do the background check on you as an individual to give you a federal firearms license, one of the things they tell us, and for those who don't know, to have a federal firearms license in America, that means you can buy and sell guns and do firearms transactions. When they interview you, one of the things they tell us is, if you, for any reason in your gut, feel that the person you're about to engage in a firearms transaction with might use that firearm in the commission of a crime, you are to err on the side of caution and stop that transaction with no explanation offered. You don't have to give the person an excuse. Even if they pass a background check, if everything on their paperwork looks fine, if something in your gut tells you, you know, this person, I'm not really comfortable. Something doesn't feel right. You're to stop the transaction and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do business with you. Period. No explanation needed. And when your own government gives you that kind of permission slip, then your own government can't turn around and come back to you and say, well, you can do that, but not with people of this particular race or religion or, you know, whatever. Right. So, you know, I think that's probably one of the things that protected us. And in all honesty, we haven't been challenged on the issue. No one has challenged us legally.
Good. We will be right back after this.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through the break. You're listening to The Danger Zone. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, here on Israel News Talk Radio. And with us today, we have Jan Morgan, who is running for governor of Arkansas. Jan, it is great that you're joining us again. Thank you for hanging on through the break. So I wanted to find out, and forgive me because I've got a bazillion different questions running through my head, and as usual, Gadi never puts anything on paper. You know, one of the things that brought you and I together, as I mentioned in the first segment, we go way back to America Akbar Radio. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't even remember how that came about, whether you just called in one night or how we found each other. And it's irrelevant. But you over the years, I mean, you came in with a knowledge of Islam. There's no doubt about
right.
that. And I don't want to take anything away from you. But as time progressed, like all of us, myself included, we've learned more and more about the truth of this so-called
sure.
religion, Islam. And one of the mm-hmm. things that I wanted to bring up that I remember from a radio show that we did years ago, and I don't recall who the guest was that we were talking to, but you mentioned a way that in your mind, and I have to agree 100%, but you came up off the top of your head with a way that we could actually outlaw the religion of Islam from being protected under the constitutional right for religions in the United States because mm-hmm. of the things that Islam stands for. Do you remember that whole
sure,
spiel
absolutely.
You did? Give everybody
well, yeah.
the idea behind that.
Well, because I was trying to figure out, and over the years I've even kind of expounded on that, but my position was, and it would not be just picking on Islam as such, but any religion, we should take a look, and any religion that's book of directives, I call it book of directives, some people will call it your holy book, whatever, but it's book of directives that its followers have to adhere to. If that book contains directives that conflict with constitutional law and ask and demand that its followers commit crimes that are against the laws of this land, then that religion, so to speak, should be declassified. It should lose its classification, religious classification status, and be declassified as a terrorist organization and be banned from practice here. That would be any religion that commands its followers. You know, you've got what is that, man, boy, love, or this is almost a religion in this country, and
yes.
that encourages crimes against, you know, molestation of little boys. That is against the law in the United States, therefore that whole ideology and religion or whatever you want to call that should be banned from practice here. So, I mean, we live by constitutional law in America. And also you have the whole theocracy aspect of Islam. I mean, you cannot coexist. Two systems of law cannot coexist in the same country. And so that's where I and Dr. Zudi Jasser, who you probably are very familiar with, Dr. Jasser, his solution is to eliminate the political side of Islam. Well, you know, how many Muslims are going to step up to the plate and agree with him on that? He's been begging them for years in this country to do that, and he can't get any support. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that they are, by and large, going to support the whole the Islam as a whole, which includes political Islam, which includes the form of government, Sharia law, that is attached to it. So until the Muslims in this country will agree to eliminate that, then you're going to continue to have this divide, and it's going to continue to be a problem. And it's not going to be accepted here.
No, and you're right. And Dr. Zahudi Jasser, and I believe it was after you left America Akbar Radio back then, mm-hmm. I did interview him, and we talked about that. He's got more death threats on him from his
sure.
fellow Muslims just for the things that he wants to do, because it states in the Quran that nothing within the Quran can be changed. And by him
right.
coming out as a Muslim and saying that, is it is apostasy, which, of course, under Sharia law, the penalty for that would be death. So, yeah, he to say he's fighting an uphill battle is an understatement.
It's an understatement. But tell me this, Gotti, because Dr. Jasser and I are Facebook friends, but I would love to have been a part of that interview. What is his – how does he deal with the issues, those 109 verses in the Quran? How does he address that? I mean, if you're going to align yourself with that religion, how can you just say, well, okay, we'll throw out Sharia law, but then – but what about those verses that command violence? Those are the verses that are encouraging devout followers of Islam.
Exactly.
Not the radicals. They're not radicals. They're not extremists. These are the devout followers of Islam that are committing these crimes against innocent people around the world. So what is his – how does he say that he can continue to follow Islam?
See, and that's the problem.
Man.
That's the problem with what Zahudi wants to do, with what Dr. Jasser wants to do. And we talked about this during the interview, because he wants to remove all the violent passages from the Quran. But if you're going to change the Quran, that would be like saying, well, you know what? Let's take the Old Testament, or for that matter, you're a Christian, the New Testament, and we're just going to mm-hmm. take these things out. You can't
right.
do that. It is what it
no.
is. And this is the problem that he has. And although, you know, I like him and I like what he stands for, and I like that he's a Muslim who considers himself to be a devout Muslim speaking out against these things, he really is – I'd hate to say it, but the only word that comes to mind is hypocritical. You can't say, well, I want to do this and follow Muhammad and be a Muslim, but I'm going to do away with these things because it doesn't suit me. That you can't do that with any religion, be it Judaism, Christianity, or Islam.
Well, apparently at least he knows about the verses. You wouldn't believe how many Muslims have contacted me and tried to argue with me and told me that Islam is a peaceful religion. I said, well, what about these verses? Well, you took those verses out of context, is what they'll say. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't take them out of context. I know exactly what they say. And I said, well, if you think I'm the one that's taking them out of context, what about all these Islamists who are killing people because of those verses? Don't you think maybe you need to revisit the Quran? If it's that difficult to understand what exactly the context of a verse is, don't you see that you have a problem there? When over the 1,400-year history of Islam, Muslims have murdered over 270 million people. It's not just me that's misinterpreting
exactly.
your scripture. Jeez.
No, you're right. And it's funny because so many of the Muslims that I end up getting into conversations with, be it on social media or when I give a speech or a lecture, they're like what they self-identify as being a Muslim because mommy and daddy may have been Muslim, or maybe their grandparents were Muslim, or they came from a Muslim country and immigrated to America, but they know so little about their actual own religion. And it seems that the only ones that really do know about Islam are, that I've spoken with, are people like other Muslims that have left the Islamic religion.
Right.
They're the best, because they will tell other Muslims, hey, you know, I'm not an Islamophobe. I was born and raised a Muslim in a Muslim country. Here's what I know. They're the ones
yes.
who I love to see debating other Muslims, because there's so many out there. And when I say out there, I'm not referring to those that live in Muslim countries. Obviously, many
right.
of them grow up reciting the Quran and actually memorizing it. They can't read or write,
sure.
but they memorize the Quran. But those that live in Western societies that self-identify as Muslims really don't know what is written in many sections of the Quran. You're absolutely right.
Nani Darwish is a perfect example. You know,
yes.
I'm sure you've interviewed Nani before. She, by the way, she has endorsed me as governor for
awesome.
Governor's race, which I think is awesome. I bought all of her books. I love her. But because it takes a lot of courage for people like that to step up and actually tell the truth about their former religion. But, you know, I have said before, and I mean that, I do believe there are as many Muslims in America who do not know what is in their Quran as there are Christians who don't know what is in their Bible. But my position about my gun range was, look, if you're an adult and you choose to align yourself with an ideology, with a certain religion, so to speak, then I assume, you know, as a responsible person that you read the Quran or the Bible, whatever you align yourself with, and you know what is in there. And since I don't know which people are going to be devout and follow those dictates in the Quran and which ones aren't, I'm just going to err on the side of caution and say, hey, you know, if you say you're this, then I'm going to assume that you are that, and therefore I can't let you handle lethal weapons next to people you're commanded to kill.
No, and that, you know, and I'm glad you brought that back up again, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't these two gentlemen that came in, and I use the term gentlemen loosely, didn't these two gentlemen that came into the gun range with the Allah Akbar ringtones, weren't they asking you about automatic weapons and only speaking to each other in Arabic? I mean, there was a lot more to it than just two guys walked in that were Muslim.
There was a lot more to it. There was. And actually, you know, and it was unnerving to people in the range. In fact, no one else would shoot. Those two guys, actually, I did let them go in and shoot. And I went in behind them. I stood behind them. Of course, I'm always armed. You know that, Gotti. I'm armed to the teeth.
Yep.
And that's an understatement. But I stood behind them. I allowed them to shoot. And then they left. Those weren't the two that I ended up throwing out of the range. But, yeah, and that was the final straw. I just said, you know, because of the way things were at that stage, you know, at that stage in our country, it's just, I'm not going to allow people to come in here and intimidate and terrorize other citizens. So
no,
we made the move that we made, and I've not backtracked on it since. And it was the best decision I've ever made for the safety and security of people at my facility.
Well, I just wish that more, you know, you mentioned how in six states other gun ranges have followed suit, and I wish more
yes.
would do so, because as you
right.
and I have both said, this is nothing more than a numbers game when it comes to Islam. And the more
right.
people learn about the truth of Islam, the easier it will be for the United States, as well as other countries, to alleviate the problem. So, or I
right.
should say the problems that seem to follow it, even though it's the so-called religion of peace.
yep.
When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more of where you stand and what your platform is as far as mm-hmm. running for governor and,
sure.
and where you see as far as going forward from this point. When is exactly the primary?
The primary is May 22nd. And, of course, the general is in November. So if we win the primary election, we will win the election in November. I have no doubt about us being able to face the Democrat and defeat him easily. But we've got to win the primary. That's going to be the tough one, because basically what I'm asking the people of the state to do is fire the current governor.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to cover your platform and where you stand and where we go from here. We will be right back after this.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are back. Thank you everyone for hanging on through the short break, and you are listening to The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gotti Edelman, and with us today we have Jan Morgan, who is running for governor of Arkansas. And Jan, tell everybody, all the listeners, what exactly is your platform? What is going to make a difference if I pull the lever for Jan Morgan versus the incumbent governor, Asa Hutchinson?
You're looking at a very big difference. It is the difference between what Americans would have done had they elected Jeb Bush instead of Donald Trump, or Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. Because what you've got here is Asa Hutchinson is a big establishment Republican, big government, tax and spend kind of guy. He's a Democrat basically running with an R in front of his name. Jan Morgan, on the other hand, is a constitutional conservative who wants to lower taxes, take some of the regulatory burdens off of our businesses, create a better business climate in this state so we can be competitive, bring up our educational scores. You know, we've been at the bottom in education in America for decades. It hasn't changed under the current administration. And so there are so many differences. It's like night and day. And that's a good thing for the Republican Party because people need a choice.
Go ahead and give everybody the website where they can go and learn about Jan Morgan. And if they feel like it, they can donate.
Oh, that would be wonderful because we can take donations from other states, which is absolutely wonderful, in other countries. It's Jan Morgan for Governor. Oh, by the way, since I mentioned that, we just got a donation from Australia the other day. Which
congratulations. That's fabulous.
I know. I thought that was awesome. Well, the folks there have understood what it's like to lose their gun rights, and the gun rights in this state are a big issue, too. But JanMorganForGovernor.com. JanMorganForGovernor.com is our website. You can find my announcement speech, which covers pretty much everything that, you know, the biggest issues that are concerned of the citizens of this state. And basically, Gotti, what we will do is we will restore the power back to the people of Arkansas. Right now, the government that's in control answers to the top 10% of the economic elites. It is the elites, the top 10% are controlling public policy in the state rather than the grassroots citizens. And this state went in the presidential election, they chose Donald Trump by a margin of almost 70%.
Wow.
Last time I checked up. Yes. So this is a state who is ready for change. They're tired of politics as usual. They're tired of politics in both political parties, Democrats and Republicans. They're ready for citizen governing. They're ready for citizen legislators. They're ready for real people to step up to the plate who are going to answer to the people, not special interest lobbyists. And that's who I am. I'm not in this race because I'm going to be a politician. I have no desire to be a career politician. And in fact, I absolutely, and you can take this to the bank, I am not going to do it. I will get in there. I'm going to serve the people, and then I'm going to get out because I love my life right now. I have an amazing life. I love my husband. I love what I do. There's nothing more rewarding than teaching people the skills they need to save their lives, which is what we get to do here at this gun range. It's what I'm going to be doing when I get off the show. I'm teaching a pistol class. So, you know, it's what I want to do is what our founding fathers envisioned our representatives would be doing in a constitutional republic, and that is people from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds, getting in there, doing the job, being servants of the people, and then getting out mm-hmm. and letting someone else get in.
There is a video. Well, there's a lot of videos of you out there, even a video mm-hmm. of you and me when we were at the same event a couple of years back. But there's a video of you out there where you went to the State House in Arkansas. And at the end of that video, I believe it was the Speaker of the House who said that you had just threatened everybody. And you said, oh, no, this is not a threat. It's a promise. That was about gun rights.
It was a mic drop moment for sure. You know, I did not know that I was delivering a blistering admonishment to RINOs, to Republicans in House Judiciary who were voting like Democrats on gun rights issue that, you know, gun rights is standard Republican Party platform. And I was outraged. I had spent weeks there trying to arm twist these Republicans to actually act and vote like Republicans. They weren't behaving. So I went in there knowing I wasn't going to be able to change the vote, but I was hoping to create enough of a stink that the media would pay attention and the word would get out to the people so the people of the state could actually see what was happening in their government. And it worked. That video, Arkansas Times shot it, and it has up to 2 million views now, I think. It's gone viral. But it did. Many people, thousands of people around this state said that one video was the alarm clock that opened their eyes mm-hmm. to what was happening in their state government. And now people are engaged and paying attention, and I think that anytime the people are engaged and paying attention to what's happening in their government, it's going to be a good thing for the people, and I hope a good thing in this election.
Your statement was, what you were telling them was, come election time, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. You were not making any type of threat. You didn't come out and say, you know, I'm going to hurt you or I'm going to shoot you. I mean, there was nothing of the sort. You just told them, your constituents at the ballot box, come election time, if you don't do the right thing, if you don't stand on the Republican platform, if you don't do that, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. How that was even perceived as a threat is beyond me. But did anything ever come of that afterwards?
No, they perceived it as a threat. A few of them did, or wanted to act like they were scared and that it was a threat. But I was very specific. I said, I am going to be your worst nightmare because I'm going to come to your district and let the people know how you voted. In other words, me shining the light on how they're voting and behaving in House Judiciary is somehow a threat. You know, if you're not misbehaving, you shouldn't considered a threat. You should be glad that your constituents know what you're doing. So just shining the light of transparency is what I was saying. And I was very clear about that. And they know it wasn't a physical threat. They were just, they didn't like the verbal threat of me exposing them for who they really
for
are.
For what they were, exactly. No,
there was no one who actually thought that it was a physical threat. They understood what I meant, but they just didn't like my tone. They didn't like the fact that I was admonishing them in front of the video cameras and in front of the audience, and actually it turned out in front of the nation, because the whole nation saw that. And if I'm not mistaken, the guy who actually started shaking in his shoes and whimpering, saying he thought I was threatening him, I think he's not running for re-election. So.
Well, that's a good thing. Now, speaking of election, you said the primary is in May. You're running in the United States. The way the political system works is prior to the main election, where it's between the two main candidates, usually a Republican and a Democrat, we have what we call a primary, where anyone can run for being one of those two candidates. And you're running in the primary against the current governor, as we call an incumbent. He's already the sitting governor. Has anyone else said they're going to run against you, too?
No, no one else is running in the Republican primary. We do have a Democrat that has stepped up to the plate who will be running in the general election in November. So whoever wins this Republican primary will face the Democrat. We also have a Libertarian at this point. And there may be one or two other candidates step up to the plate representing other parties, and there still could be someone on the Republican front to step in and muddle the waters a little more in the Republican primary. And who knows? And the other thing that's going to be an interesting play, Gotti, is our primaries are open, which means Democrats, if there's not a Democrat opponent to the current Democrat who's running, Democrats can come over and vote in our primary to really kind of, you know, mess stuff up. They can say, well, you know, we think that Jan Morgan is going to be tougher to beat in the general, so let's go over to the Republican primary and let's make sure that Asa is the Republican that we're running against.
Oh, so
or vice versa.
Your state allows people from different parties to vote for a different party in the primary.
So that's why it's such an unknown. The other possibility is that it could work in my favor, and you know how Democrats are. They can sit there and go, well, you know, she is so polarizing, there's no way she's going to win this race, so let's make sure that she's our opposition in November, and let's flood the... Yeah, so you just never know what their strategy is going to be and how that's going to play out, but it could be good or bad for me. We just don't know.
Yeah, and I want to explain...
What would be a good thing is if they... have another candidate in the Democrat primary so that they will have to vote in their own primary and decide which Democrat they want instead of coming over to ours and voting in ours.
Exactly. So I want to explain real quickly for our listeners that may not understand this, especially those that are in Israel or other countries. In the United States, like, I'm a registered Republican. In order to go out and vote, you have to register to vote. And you can choose to be a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, a Libertarian. There's a lot of different things, but I'm a registered Republican. The state where I live, for example, I cannot vote in the Democrat Party if I'm registered as a Republican. So what Jan is referring to is in her state, because there is no person running against the Democrat who's going to run, those people that are registered Democrats can vote in the Republican primary and really mix things up. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Not many states have that.
It makes it an entirely big question mark. It doesn't matter how well you fare among your Republicans. But, Gotti, there's still a chance that there may be another Democrat step up to the plate. You know, the filing deadline is not till the last week in February, first week in March. So there's still some time for another candidate to step up to the plate, and that may very well happen. But either way, we're gonna, if we win the primary, we will win the general. I'm convinced of that. I'm not even concerned about the Democrat challenger at this point. I know him's a nice enough guy, likable guy, but he's not gonna have the following. He's not gonna have the support he needs to win.
Please go to JanMorganForGovernor.com. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so go ahead and tell everybody, why should we vote for you?
Okay. The reason we should vote for me is because it is time for citizens, not only in this state, but in this country, to fix the waste, fraud, and abuse in our government, in our state government, in our city governments, in our county governments, and in our federal government. And the way we do that is to get involved and get engaged in our election process. And we've got to get career politicians out of office, and we need citizen legislators and citizen representatives in there representing us. And we need people that we can hold accountable, because what happens often is people get in office and they start representing special interests. We need to make sure that we hold our elected officials accountable, whether it's Jan Morgan or whoever we elect. You got to stay on their backs and keep them honest.
Jan, that is wonderful. I hope, and I'm going to make you commit to it now, if you win, well, even if you don't win, but when you win, you're going to come back and be a guest on the show.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if you could have an invitation to the inaugural ball.
Oh, I know that's coming.
Okay. All right. Absolutely, Gotti.
I'll be there with bells on for that. Are you kidding me?
Yes, sir. Oh, and by the way, if we do win this, we'll be the first female governor in the state of Arkansas. And my husband would be the first man, which was just an interesting thought. I would be the first governor in the history of Arkansas, a female who rides a motorcycle and shoots guns. So.
A Harley, no less.
Harley, yes.
Jan, thank you so much for joining us
today.
Good luck, and we will definitely keep our eye on what's going on in the governor's race in Arkansas.
Okay, you take care.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm from Stanton, California, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Andy from Augsburg, Germany, living now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. When I want to get the news from Israel, I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I am Leo Yuwono from Indonesia, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Carlton Letala from Zimbabwe, and I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
My name is Atiwa.
And I'm Bela Singer from Efrat, Israel, and we love listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the best information on Israel and the Jewish nation.
Hello, this is Mudaz Iran, leader of the Jordanian Opposition Coalition from Jordan. As an Arab, I enjoy listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the most updated news about Israel and to follow peace with our friendly neighbors.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.